Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is episode 57 of your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, and today I am joined by three fantastic hosts, a couple of guests, one regular. You already know and love them, but let's get a quick round of introductions for everybody. Lazanin, you're the regular here. How you doing? How's your week been?
I'm doing fantastic. I am both exhausted and super, super excited, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Oh, okay, okay. I was wondering where we were going to plug certain announcements of announcements, esports style, but okay, end of show. I like that. Feppy, welcome back, coming for your title of most frequent guest of Overdunk of all time, and on your birthday, no less. Happy birthday, Feppy.
Oh, thank you, thank you. You know what? Here, hold on. I'll commit to the bit. It's fine. We'll rock the birthday hat. Yep, it's me, Feppy, coach of Team Radiance, former pro support player. Hello.
Awesome, awesome. And of course, everyone who's listening to this already knows and loves you, but what's up, Spraggles? Welcome to the show.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
They all say great. Thank you so
they
much.
They all
everybody.
Responded at once.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, what a great chorus. What a chorus That's of awesome. Folks responding.
Cool.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody, and welcome chat if you're here watching live in podcast land. Hello in the future. We are going to be talking about a few different topics today. I wanted to start the show talking about Pokemon Day, which, if you're watching this live, was yesterday. Brought a few really fun new announcements to the world of Pokemon. Some Unite specific things, not the most, but that's all right. We take what we can get. And then we have a lot to talk about in terms of new Pokemon added to the game, a patch that happened, and we also have a few other discussion topics that I want to hit, but it's going to be a solid episode. Let's start things off with Pokemon Day. Now, Pokemon Day, this one, particularly for me, the Pokemon Presents, a 20-minute mark on this video that we were looking forward to. I was pretty overhyped, I will say. My expectations were maybe fueled a little bit too much by the internet and my excitement. I was hoping for a lot more. I put up my wish list. Pokken 2 was at the top of my wish list. I did not get that. But we did get some cool announcements. But Spraggles, I know you did a live reaction to this Presents. What'd you think of the Presents, and what do you think of Pokemon Day?
Well, they didn't get to really announce much or show much that we kind of didn't already expect, right? So I guess, you know, it's a bit underwhelming. There is a silver lining, I think, to the Pokemon Presents. And that's, people complain all the time that they're not giving them enough time to make games, and they, you know, put out a full title every year and stuff like that. Right. Maybe that's not happening this year. Maybe they're actually giving them time to polish something up, and it won't release in the state of every Unite patch or Pokemon Scarlet Violet. So that's the silver lining to really nothing happening in this thing, except for an alarm clock, which will be great.
Well, yes, and to their credit, an alarm clock that we heard about 3 years ago and nothing since then, so it is a fun update, if nothing else.
It is going to be the most polished alarm clock. Three years making.
Maybe.
I can't wait.
Maybe. Lazarus, were you able to catch any of the Pokemon Presents?
Yeah, I caught it like 12 hours later. I was up super late that night doing some other things. I don't know. The Unite stuff was cool. It was nice seeing my boys up there.
Yeah, that's true.
Sad no PMD. The Scarlet Violet DLC looks good. Mm-hmm. Pokemon Sleep is a banger. I was legitimately like so baffled about like the intro with the dude sleeping with the Slowbro. Like, what was
that? Yeah, that was an interesting one for sure. But hey. It happened. Pokemon Sleep is there. We're ready to go.
I'm sure you were probably confused because you thought it was real game footage. But if you'll notice at the bottom of the screen, they said that was not real game footage.
Thank you.
You're like, it's in game? It's not actually. No.
Oh, well, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm sure we all forgot it. Feppy, how about you? Any Pokemon Presents thoughts to come up with? I know you were also disappointed by no Pokemon Mystery Dungeon announcements, but yeah. Otherwise, anything to take away from the Pokemon Day?
No, I'm mainly just happy that Unite got some representation. There's been a history of Unite not getting any representation at all, so That's a bit higher. That's a bit more than what I expected, to be perfectly honest. So I'm pretty happy about that.
I think technically more screen time than Cafe Mix. So I think I'll take it.
yeah. It was a bit sad seeing all the people meme about the game in the chat. You know, but yeah, so, you know, at least people are seeing the game, right? Makes me happy.
That is true. That is very true. Yeah, I tend to not reach out. But one thing I was pretty excited about, I mean, Chris Brown, head of competition at TPCI, seemingly broadcast and organization and otherwise, really seems to be the head of all of that, got to come on and talk about Worlds in Yokohama. We knew that was where it was located. We do have dates now, so the first half of August is going to be the event. Pretty exciting. I think a lot of people now, if you are planning on visiting and like you're not really planning on competing in the World Championships, but you still want to go as an event to check it out as a tourist, I cannot recommend enough. Run, don't walk to your computer to go get hotels and flights and book that early. Now that you have the dates, you can finally do it with some security in mind. You don't have to risk it of when you think the event will be. Get it done early. Hotels are hard to find near the convention centers after these things pop off. It's looking like it's probably going to be the biggest World Championships we have ever had in the history of competitive Pokemon. So if you're planning on traveling there, please go and get your travel sorted out as soon as possible. And you should go because it'll be super fun. London was really fun. We had a lot of people there as well that were just fans watching the games. Obviously, I was more familiar with the Unite people, but people were there traveling to watch VGC, TCG, Pokken, and everything and go. So it was still a ton of fun. So that's your Zoinks heads up if you want to go and come to Pokemon Day or come to the Pokemon World Championships.
Oh, was that the official Zoinks heads up? Oh,
that is. Okay. Right. Yeah, you finally have it.
Okay, all right, good.
Now I can book my ticket that I definitely haven't forgotten to buy up to this point.
Does it in?
Okay. I agree.
Yes, okay, well, good. I'm glad that it worked. That's evidence. Let's transition and talk about Unite a little bit specifically now. We have the new Pokemon Zacian. Another legendary from Gen 8 has been added to the game. Urshifu and Zacian now filling out the roster. Pokemon's busted. This Pokemon's ridiculously strong. It's every YouTube thumbnail. It's every clickbait. It is so, so strong. It's also bugged, but even without that, it seems pretty ridiculous. It's another unstoppable smite at Ray, so here we go. Thoughts on Zacian as a whole? Feppy, let's start with you.
The most insane character that's ever been released. Not even close. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if I saw the character have like a 80%+ win rate in ranked.
Wow.
In non-mirror matchups. I mean, the character is unbelievably strong. And I mean, you're literally like, Zacian just chills in a random bush. He just walks up to you, one shots you. There's nothing you can do, and you just, oh, okay, cool. It's like you can't even like check the bush safely because he has like three dashes to catch up to you to kill you. It's like how do you live? And the character, of course, is, you know, I've seen some crazy clips of, like, you know, Zacian just one-shotting Mamoswines from full HP. It's just like, oh, okay, that's, you can't even play tanks to counter. It's like, there's just nothing you can really do.
Yeah, that is so much. Spraggles, thoughts, Sword Pupper?
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what happened with it. My guess is they wanted it to be really good. I kind of want it to be really good. I talk about this with a lot of releases. I kind of hope they're slightly overpowered. I want a release to be exciting. I don't want them to be scissor or something like that.
Right.
But I think this feels like a combination of they leaned too hard on slightly overpowered. And as some people have pointed out, maybe it's also bugged or something like that. Unite, every once in a while they have a bug in the game. And this could be one of those times where overpowered meets bugged and it's just become like unbelievable. I'm actually surprised now that we're a day away from Pokemon Day that they haven't fixed it. I expected a fix, just not on Pokemon Day.
Okay, that's interesting. So I talked about this on Twitter a little bit. There, in my memory, there has been one emergency patch in Unite. It's just the Sylveon fix. Has there ever been another one since that point?
Lucario, right? Didn't they emergency?
And this is like on the level of Lucario. Like, yeah, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's probably more broken than Lucario was.
Okay. Like, okay. So also Lucario. Fair enough. So, all right. So maybe there is more precedent. I don't know. I feel like every patch that comes out, we're always like, oh, please, emergency fix, even though we know it's never going to happen because it's only happened once before. But maybe I think the bug is egregious enough that this is something that needs to be patched into the game as quickly as possible. But before we jump into Lazarin's thoughts, Spraggles, your opinion of the Pokemon, if they do fix the bug that we like specifically are thinking around this Pokemon, do you think it's still overtuned past that point?
Oh yeah, it's quite overpowered. Regardless, I mean, both of its move sets, even though it has one held item you can't use, you could use this with terrible held items, nothing. It doesn't matter. It's still really, really strong. Its critical hits will hit for like 2,000 just walking around. Like, this thing is way too strong. Yes. But at least if it's nerfed, it's not kind of just a one-hit KO thing right away, I guess. But it needs nerfs across the board. It's for sure. Yeah, it's completely, it's unbalanced, imbalanced. I'm not sure which one. And it's also just broken. So
the answer is yes.
Yes, all of the above. Lazarin, thoughts on Zacian in this game?
Okay, pretending the bug doesn't exist for a moment.
Okay.
I am legitimately shocked that not only have they created the strongest character in Unite history without contact, like without contest, but also the strongest version of Zacian in Pokemon history, which, considering its other versions, is utter insanity.
Yeah, is it though? Oh man, VGC Zacian was like meta defining for over a year. I think there's like a time frame we gotta give this one, you know?
They don't patch that game, right?
No, they don't. But Steel Fairy typing with a move that counters the biggest mechanic in the video game was a pretty solid toolkit for that Pokemon to be meta defining. But yes, continue. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
But they were non-Zacian teams. Like those, they did okay.
Yes.
Or like sometimes well, even, right? Like that was a thing you could do. If we were still playing Blind Pick meta, and anybody ever picked a non-Zacian team, I would just turn the match off. There's no point.
yeah, it's
really, really that bad. And even like you could, like it has the highest attack of any all-rounder. It has the second highest average defensive stats of any all-rounder besides Tyranitar. Mm-hmm. It has like a higher than average move speed. It has a unique crit rate, by the way. It gets 5% crit at level 2. Why?
Oh, perfect.
Like, what? They just gave this thing crack. Like, it is just... Why? Why?
Well, okay. The why, I think, is an easier answer, though, right? I mean, because that one's pretty simple. It is a new release. It is the yearly super legendary year of Pokemon. Very big, exciting release. I understand wanting to make it incredibly strong. They have given it too much. Now, my question is, if I can glass half full it for a moment, if there is any element of that here, is it maybe just an underestimation of like how much not, I need to phrase this correct way. The mechanic of where they give up Eos energy to superpower their attacks. Is it like, did maybe they overestimate how not of a letdown that would be? How can I not phrase this correctly? I don't think it's a huge trade-off to spend your money to do big, strong attacks. I don't think that's a problem at all. Did they think it would be a bigger trade-off though when they were designing this Pokemon? Does anybody think that?
I mean, they probably thought that taking away a held item, making it spend Eos energy, they probably thought all of those things contributed to it being not crazy broken to the point where if you don't have one, you can't win.
Do you think, though, then, is that like a scale that we can push to actually bring this Pokemon within reason? Or does like stats need to be overhauled? Like, is there a break point of like, you give up all of your Eos energy when you use this move that would all of a sudden make it really tough to win with Zacian?
But you still get the Eos energy back when you KO them. So no, I don't think I don't think that's relevant. Yeah. I think you could have it spend its whole Eos energy and it's still fine.
You could have Rusted Sword take up 3 item slots and it would still be broken.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is true.
Going to what Spraggles is saying, like, I don't understand why they decided that you should be able to I guess they wanted to like give you a reward for spending your Eos energy correctly and getting kills so that you could get more Eos energy back, but like the character is just so strong that like all you're doing is you're just actively generating free points for your team, like worst case scenario, right? Because like you get a kill and you just generate more points for your team. I'm shocked that they didn't just make it so that Zacian gives less points to your team when he participates in the kill, so that way he actually has to use points all around the map and wild mons is like an actual resource in order to do stuff. It doesn't make any sense to me why they did like they just did the mechanic in a way that's just like, oh well, you have to spend Eos points in order to actually get your value, but don't worry, we'll just, you know, lottery slots anytime you kill somebody. It's like, oh, you have 65 points on the ground to pick up, so yeah, you just fill up on the points, like who cares. Yeah. I don't understand what the point of that mechanic was, so to be perfectly honest.
Right, which I guess was what I was getting at, is I think that this sliding scale, even if they could adjust it, won't ever truly bring this Pokemon within balance. It's almost like a moot point. It is a cool idea that like you spend this energy to power up your attacks. It's a neat part, but I think it's all flavor at the end of the day. I don't think it matters, even if this Pokemon was like within reason in terms of stats wise. I don't really think that like that's a fun mechanic you need to think about when playing the Pokemon. I'm not like, okay, I'll use this attack undercharged because I still need to dunk this Eos energy. Like, I don't know. It just feels like a bit of a miss on a mechanic, in my opinion. But that's all right. Also, I want to huge shout out Caleb Peng. Thank you so much for the raid. I love Battle Cats so, so much, and everyone knows that. So go check out the Pokemon Go podcast, Battle Cats, if you are into Pokemon Go at all or not. I barely know anything about competitive Pokemon Go, and I love that podcast. So no free shout outs, but a raid counts. Sweet. So that is Zacian. Now, let's talk just patch in general, shall we? This one has its fair share of insectoids, as we like to call them. It's got a few. Lazarus, I'm sure you are well aware of more of them than most. But the patch did bring other changes in general. So let me, I'm going to bring up DB's patch page here. Just a second. Let's do that. We could take a look at this patch in general. So first thing, though, Boss Rush is back, and I love Boss Rush personally, so this is what I am genuinely excited about. I think the two new held items are, albeit underwhelming, but I'm just excited that more held items are coming. I wish these were a little more dynamic, but I think that Rescue Hood down the road with more Pokemon could be cool. I think it's like a future item. Slick Spoon, meh, whatever. But I think these items are pretty sweet. So Boss Rush and new held items, great, big pluses for me. Any other standout positive things from this patch that any of you can think about? Feppy, let's start with you.
Well, of course, you already mentioned it a bit, but anytime they're adding new held items, I'm really happy. I think that there's just so many interesting mechanics they could do with held items, and I'm so happy that they're doing stuff like, you know, unique stuff like Rescue Hood's a really unique mechanic for this game, so I'm glad that they're doing stuff like that. And same thing with Slick Spoon, they're both unique mechanics. Like, applause, good job. Yeah, I'm so happy about that.
Still no Grievous Moons. One day we'll get a Grievous Moons held item. One day. Time.
And the other main thing is, I don't know how they did it, but they somehow made Pain Split Trevenant not terrible.
Yes. It's like a literal dream come true, Feppy. I'm so excited.
I genuinely, like I've been saying for a while, I did not honestly see a world where Pain Split would ever be a good move, and they somehow did it. Like, it's a good move now. Okay, and it doesn't seem like it's broken. It just seems good.
Spraggles, Feppy's claiming that Pain Split is good and broken, one of the best moves in the game. Rebuttals, do you think it's that solid?
It's a good move. It's actually pretty good. Yeah. I still think it's worse after playing it for a bit, but I like it. I like it a lot more, and there's some actual exciting stuff you could do with it now. So I think that's really cool. It's really cool because it needed love forever. I can't believe it took so long. The real thing with Trevenant, though, is Woodhammer. Woodhammer is legit so good right now.
Yes,
it's amazing. I
love it. Click Boom feels great. Like, how fast that move pops off is so sick. I am really a fan of Woodhammer.
So was it this patch? I guess I didn't even realize that this was part of it, but it now, it controls so well. I love when they do this to a move that was always kind of borderline. And now you can just slam it twice in quick succession. Massive amounts of damage, huge stuns. Woodhammer is awesome.
And okay, Lazadin, your thoughts on the Trevenant here, but I want to talk about this Pokemon meta-wise in like tournament draft meta that we're currently seeing right now. But Lazadin, thoughts on Woodhammer and Pain Split changes?
Oh, I love them both. I think they're both like really, really excellent. And like Pain Split has niche cases it can be used now. Woodhammer, yeah, like has, I'd say, even like more cases where it can be used. Like it opens up more of a possibility for like maybe even a defender tree, right?
Yeah.
Where you'd like never thought of that as even a possible thing before.
Right. This was your dive counter, and that was it. Yeah. Like, that was pretty much all that Trevenant could really provide. But okay, now let's talk about it. What are the other Pokemon that that Trevenant is really competing with in terms of draft? Slowbro, that's a tough one. That's tough to beat right now. That Pokemon is absurd. It's absurdly positioned in this metagame. Snorlax and Mamow are kind of the other two that fill those niches, but both Snorlax and Mamow, I think, need a lot of build around on your team comp. Does Trevenant ever see a world where it is competing in that kind of, my opinion, of the tier two slots of tanks in terms of, would you ever consider Mamoswine and instead pick Trevenant?
I'd say so.
Yeah? I think so too. Yeah.
Okay. I like that. And then why?
I mean, first of all, the Woodhammer hitbox is just really good for peeling. It's just really, really big hitboxes, right? It's hard to just, it's just a giant, you know, screw you area, right? Which is just always nice on a tank. And also, like, trees, like, main strength has always just been its durability. Like, it's really hard to remove a tree from a position where if it wants to stand there, it's going to stand there, and good luck trying to move it, right? So I think that those two strengths, you know, combined together, make it a pretty solid tank option. I mean, obviously there's other characters that can kind of do the same thing, like Mamoswine, but Mamoswine has to get really, really close a lot of the times to provide its CC, or it's like dashing in and hard committing a lot of the times, right? Whereas like with Tree, you could just like throw your wood hammer and play from a fairly safe position.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you have Hornleech that'll sort of fill the same role as High Horsepower, but then Woodhammer is kind of filling that slot of Icicle Crash, I guess. And I think Woodhammer I kind of prefer right now over Icicle Crash, other than Icicle Crash is ranged and can sometimes smite, but I don't know. That's risky. Spraggles, what are your thoughts on Trevenant from a competitive metagame standpoint? Do you think this Pokemon has a lot of draft viability and should be heavily considered in lines of Mamoswine, Snorlax, things like that?
It's so tough. It's weird because I feel like I see a lot of teams not even really drafting that many tanks in the roles that you would expect them to sort of fill, except for Slowbro.
Right.
And part of it's because its Unite move is a complete shutdown of a certain enemy, you know? But whenever there are buffs like this, I think it's always something to look at. I still think, boy, I would be shocked if someone brought Pain Split into a game, you know, if they were drafting it. But I do think Woodhammer has some viability, especially if you happen to want to pair it with something that takes huge advantage of the stun, because it also lines enemies up. I'm sure you've noticed this when you use it. It like literally sets them in a direct line. So you could double Woodhammer, you know, Psybeam or whatever it's called on Espeon. You could nail them with really incredible arrows from Decidueye. So I could see some teams trying to use this. It feels maybe more niche and not as good as, you know, something like Snorlax, but I could see some teams trying it.
Okay, the Amaterasu Pokemon is what I'm hearing out of those specific callouts.
Honestly, they might love it. They might really love
it. I wonder.
Okay, yeah, no leaks, coaches. I brought you on for your expertise, not for your scrim leaks. All right, let's talk Tyranitar. Tyranitar also saw some changes, I think some much-needed ones. Tyranitar goes absurd. I was casting a tournament this last weekend for EU. Comfy plus Tyranitar is dummy, broken, stupid, Braxton. It's crazy. This Pokemon is unbelievable. Do we think that Tyranitar, seeing these changes, some Dark Pulse nerfs, Stone Edge buff, sure, whatever. I don't know. That move feels bad anyways. Ancient Power nerfs. Do we think that this is enough to, you know, knock T-Tar down a peg? Or is the combination of Comfey and Tyranitar still going to be one of the first things we are grabbing in draft?
Mickey Mouse metagame. It's like, this doesn't change anything.
Yeah, no. It's hard to take away the ankle biter's power. I think it's so strong still. Okay, Spraggles, Tyranitar changes. Do you think that they are enough? Do you think they're not enough?
Not enough. Stone Edge needs something. It's a cool move. I really like Stone Edge, and I love playing Razor Claw on Pokemon like this. So Stone Edge with the Razor Claw is super fun. But I mean, when your other move just has this amazing stun to it and it kind of is fluid, you can use it in a way and still continue to move around. I think you have to do something else to Stone Edge. That being said, yeah, Tyranitar is still awesome. It's if you could get Zacian, you would, but since you can't, yeah, T-Tar is a pretty great raid mod.
Yeah, I'll do the trick. Yeah, terrible level 5, but other than that, you'll be okay. Feppy, thoughts on Tyranitar?
I really feel like if they're just trying to get Tyranitar out of the meta, this misses the mark by a lot. The answer to nerfing Tyranitar isn't to just nerf its damage. I mean, obviously you can just nerf a character's damage enough and it'll eventually be enough, right? But Tyranitar's not really picked mainly for his damage. He's picked for his, you know, late game tankiness and the fact that he has, you know, double CC, or he has CC plus, you know, Delphox ult on a stick. And, you know, his ult is obviously really strong, right? He's not picked for just purely damage. So nerfing his damage is not gonna make him magically bad in the positions where he's good already. So I really feel like it just missed the mark. I would have liked to see more, like, maybe like, I don't know, like an increase to his Unite move cooldown or something, so that he can't use it as often, or like, you know, maybe make his cooldowns a bit harsher so that, you know, he has to actually make decisions of like, if I go in, I'm committing and I have no chance of coming out unless, you know, I get a ton of support from my team, right?
Yeah.
I would have liked to see, you know, changes addressing other stuff besides his damage.
Okay. Any other patch notes that we really want to bring up? Lesson, and I know you were working on a lot of these, but any thoughts, any patch notes you really wanted to talk about?
I'd Spark say buff. Don't sleep on the Wigglybuff a bit.
Really?
It don't feel too bad.
Okay. So, Wigglytuff rollout being buffed, shield duration going from 1 second to 1.5 seconds. That's not bad. Rollout was always a fun move. Some niche players really like to pick it. I'm thinking like Blaine in EU or Parasite in NA. Both really like this move. Starlight Recital getting a pretty huge buff. I think so. The cooldown, crazy decrease on Starlight Recital. You're going to be getting that move a lot more. Just really fun. It's like a great anti-crowd control move. It's like the best one in the game, probably. Wiggly's fun. I like Wiggly, so I think this is a cool option.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
what
I
are
agree.
You putting it pretty over cool. in draft, Lassiter? Like, what would you be dropping out of your team to slot Wiggly in? Nah, all right, fair. Spraggles, what were your thoughts on Wigglytuff?
I think it's a cool buff. I mean, it's kind of weird. The nice thing is you get a little extra shield on rollout, which is pretty cool because it's a pretty beefy shield. And then, yeah, Starlight Recital. It's kind of a meh Unite move if you only get to use it once or twice, you know, a game. But maybe if you get to use it at, you know, a few important fights, that'll help Wiggly out a little bit. It's kind of cool to see them do these small buffs to see just kind of how far they can push the Pokemon rather than sort of Mr. Mime buffing them. So it's cool to see. I mean, there's a buff inside this patch that we haven't talked about that I think is huge, but yeah.
Okay, then please drop the knowledge.
Oh, Espeon.
When Talonflame has it, Espeon. Oh, okay. Espeon is this. These are like legit amazing buffs on Espeon. It got the Battle Pass treatment, and its range is unbelievable on Psyshock. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a Pokemon that I think almost everyone agreed did not need buffs. I think Espeon was doing just fine in the metagame. One of the strongest early game, like, laning Pokemon. Was one of the only Pokemon that could actually compete with Mew for that title. And now it's stronger. But okay, Spraggles, you were mentioning the range being one of the biggest things for Psyshock.
Yeah, it's insane. You can steal from crazy amounts of range, and the damage is amazing, and the stun is so good. Mm-hmm. And now you just line up so many more moments where you stun multiple members of the enemy team. You can pick off KOs that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And it's a huge volley of damage. Again, this is sort of its battle pass glow up, just like Buzzwole got. And I think it's a legit change for this Pokemon. I feel like it was always sort of right on the bubble of being a possible choice, and I would not be surprised if you see some teams try to bring it into games.
Oh yeah, I mean, we've already seen it. I think like there's like a lot of teams that are Espeon believers, I think, that are bringing it in. But I think the popularity will definitely rise, like you were mentioning. Lazadin, thoughts on the Espeon?
I think if you just took those first two changes there, I'd be cool with it, right? Like, I think those are both good changes. Espeon's boosted attack had a unique, or used to have a unique mechanic. It got shared with Mime, but it was one of the worst boosted attacks in the game. Like, mm-hmm. It's just awful, or was just awful. They boosted its damage by 40%.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So, like, that change I think is needed. The cooldown change of the passive, that's totally cool too. You didn't need to put the range up with both of those. Holy.
Yeah, the Psyshock range is absolutely absurd.
And, like, even the Swift range, right? Like, how are you ever supposed to, like, try to, like, contest this thing in lane if it can hit you from, like if, even if you get the leash on the top, on, like, a contested Audino, right? Or, like, a contested Ndidi, mm-hmm. it can still hit it from, like, the bush. Like, that's it's crazy.
Yeah, this Pokemon's sick. Evolutions stay winning in Unite. They really do. I think they're kind of the evergreen Pokemon picks, at least at the attack roll. Always, always, always going to be strong. Feppy, thoughts on the Espeon changes?
Obviously, Psyshock is a bit hard to hit, but I think it's kind of weird that they decided to give Espeon access to a stun Solar Beam. I think it's a bit weird. I don't know why they thought that, you know, Solar Beam range stuns were fair and balanced, but it's, you know, interesting decision. It definitely, you know, buffed the character, and it's definitely a pretty strong character now. I don't know if it's, you know, it's probably still not the best attacker in the game right now. It's probably still Mew, but, you know, he's definitely up there for contention, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think its early game is all of a sudden a peg higher, so that's really, really cool. A couple other changes. I saw some people mentioning this in the chat too. Some pretty cool quality of life changes across the board. Some weird super jumps gone now. That's a bummer. I don't like that at all. But a couple of other things are nicer on my end.
Thanks. Thanks. Check it out. Thanks. Help me. Please help me. Thanks.
And chat, you'll never have to hear that again because of a wonderful UI change. From a caster and a spectator perspective, they added a farther out, like a zoomed out camera in spectator client, which is so cool. I'll only have to watch the minimap for 50% of the game instead of 100% of the game now. So that's really exciting. Really pumped about that being added to the game. And I don't know, there's been a couple of other UIs. Seeing your teammates' builds while leveling, while setting up for the game is kind of neat and interesting. Interesting take on how to do the pregame screen. So that's exciting too. I think overall the UI changes and quality of life stuff was really solid this patch. But any other things that I'm missing that people enjoyed?
Can I say this? And I don't know how this is going to affect draft and, you know, tournament and all that, but I haven't had my game crash during like loading into a game, switching items or anything like that a single time. And I used to have it crash every day multiple times. So they might have fixed that, which was a huge problem.
Right. You better have so much wood beside you that you're knocking on, because that is, we could curse. You could have cursed all the tournaments that are about to be happening. So I really hope so. Lazadin or Feppy, any UI or quality of life stuff that you were really impressed with in this patch?
I really like the new character select screen. I mean, I think it's pretty nice being able to see how badly your teammates are trolling before you go into the game. Is kind of nice.
Okay, but the Twitter clips are becoming so good. It's so easy.
All I'm saying is, if I see four of my teammates have got Assault Vest Rocky helmet on, I know I got to pick a 1v5 mod, so I just got to pick Zacian and hope we can carry the game. You know,
that like, is true.
Now I know.
But you also know you're about to get 100 likes in your next tweet. So you really got to balance that out. You really got to decide which one's more worth it. Lazarin, any of these changes that you're excited about?
No, I'm just currently mentally preparing for my unhinged bug tirade.
Okay, sure. All right, is that where we're at now? Shall we talk about these patches bugs? I think we've talked about everything positive I can so far. Lazarin, break it down. What is the bugs and the state of the bugs in this patch?
So let's start by talking about just the ban list for UCS, okay?
Okay, we'll jump there. Oh, yeah, gosh. Let's do that. Let's talk
because
about
this is a great way to jump into the bug list. Because
let's
most
start
of them are on
a precursor, though. So I want to give a bit of a framework for what's going on with UCS. So this has been happening since the start of Unite Championship Series last year. There's always been overall bans. I think every single tournament has had at least one Pokemon banned out for the entire event, which constitutes a game loss if your team picks it. Because of bugs in the game right now, math chord recommendations is usually what every tournament is operating off of. Currently banned in the game are... Now I gotta find the most recent one, so you're seeing what's going on now. Currently banned Delphox, Zacian, Glaceon, just Icicle Spear, Clefable, just Follow Me, and Scyther/Scizor, either one, are all total banned. Scyther has been kind of coin flipping back and forth between the banned and unbanned state. We've had a few at everyone DMs in these Discords. It's been going back and forth. It's caused a lot of headaches. The qualifiers are literally this weekend. The patch happened yesterday. So just kind of a comedy of errors, but Lazarin, go ahead.
Okay, oh, I'm going to preface this by saying I feel very sorry for all the UCS staff. This is not fair to you guys.
Not at all.
this patch is not okay. So let's just quickly go down that list. All right. Scyther has been bugged for for almost 3 months at this point.
Yes.
Glaceon got a new got an old bug back somehow.
Unite's kind of known for giving old bugs back. Cramorant is well aware of these things.
Clefable has had this bug since Sableye release. We just didn't have enough footage to fully prove it.
Okay.
It's just insanity to me. And then also, hey, there's a detrimental Dragapult bug. That's actually a pretty big deal. There's a huge detrimental Slowbro bug. Slowbro on Surf feels so unplayable.
Mm-hmm. Surf is actually unplayable. You cannot play Surf right now. It's so bad.
Mew has a huge detrimental bug on its second move. Really? There's just, and not to mention Zacian, who has, two major bugs.
Uh-huh.
And we've only really publicly announced one of them. There is another move that's bugged on that Pokemon, just not to anywhere near that extent.
Okay, sure. Well, that's a good thing, right?
And then you still have a lot of the older bugs that are still in the game. Crambog is still in the game. That was unbanned, but it's still there.
That is
Urshifu has had some weird interactions since its launch, and those are all still there.
Right, because we can't tell if they're bugs or intended, right?
Yeah.
Is the major problem with Urshifu? Yeah.
Yeah. There's just so much, right? Uh-huh. And then, we have items, even, that are, Drain Crown may or may not have been bugged since launch. Is it supposed to heal on shields? I don't know. this game is so unstable. And then, there's visual bugs on this patch. I've had some really weird ping bugs on this patch. If you pick up the shield as greeted in Boss Rush, your second move gets changed to Covet. Don't know why.
Boss Rush meta is in shambles.
Oh, no.
Are you being greeted in Boss Rush? Anyway.
I rolled it on the mission, which that's a whole other thing.
Sure. Fair enough.
And it's I really love this game, and I really, really want to like give it all the support I can. But it's like it's so frustrating. It is so, so frustrating. And to like give these same issues week after week, because I have reported all of these multiple times. Every single bug that's been around for more than one patch, you guarantee I have sent DMs to multiple contacts about it. It is insanity.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Obviously, all these things that you listed, it's a bummer of timing because of March Finals, the Open starting up this weekend. It's a bummer of timing because this is the Pokemon Day patch. This is when you're trying to sell your game to get returning players. It's when you're trying to get people who are picking up the game for the first time. It's a tough outlook. Spragles, I want to ask you specifically. You're a content creator for this game, the biggest one right now. You know for a fact that, like, I mean, a lot of your video content, you want to build up the game, but you also have to be honest about the game and things like that. What's it like making content right now around a patch like this, you know, unstable is what Lastman called it.
Yeah, I think one of the worst things about a patch like this is there's really exciting stuff inside the game that I want to talk about. And even outside of the bugs, I think the biggest, well, one of it. Is partially, I guess, due to a bug, but Zacian's just a disaster for the game in general.
Uh-huh.
And it makes it hard to, like, I mean, how many, I don't know, if I want to make an Espeon video, I have to go through the process of fighting against five Zacians who are just destroying every single match. So it's weird making content when things are so incredibly broken. Mm-hmm. And also when it's really focused onto one Pokemon. As far as what the competitors have to deal with, I kind of love teams having to react to a patch before a tournament over the weekend. I kind of love that, and I know teams don't like it, and this is probably an unpopular opinion, but I kind of love seeing who can adapt to what's new. I think that's cool. What I don't like is how much broken stuff there is inside of all these situations. Like, I want people to be able to play a lot of these Pokemon, and when things are so broken, that part is a bit of a mess for them. And content's weird when you have to go, how broken is this on purpose? I feel like to not mention that is a little disingenuous, but yeah. Given the track record for this game, I also recognize that I think they just have a very hard time making this game. Like, they have a very hard time balancing it. They have a very hard time with bugs. They if this game was bug free, you could say that the Zacian release was completely predatory, but without it, I think they honestly had no idea what they were releasing.
Fair enough. Feppy, I'm sure you share the same thoughts as the rest of us. Game this unstable is a really tough environment for a competitive game to stand on its own legs. But what are your thoughts around this this topic?
You know, when you have, you know, five or six people, you know, and then five or six people on another team, like, you know, gathering together for scrims, you know, spending multiple hours out of their day trying to learn the meta so that you can play in the tournament, you know, I mean, people are taking time out of their work days and their work weeks, right? Or, you know, time with their family or their friends or whatever in order to, you know, make this happen and try and get into the tournaments. And then halfway through your scrim block, you find out something is unbanned and then rebanned. You can imagine the frustration that, you know, a lot, you know, those 12 individuals would have, right? It's just things changing right in the middle of the week, right in the middle of your scrims. It's very frustrating because you go into a scrim block and all of a sudden you find out, okay, now all of our, you know, draft stuff that we wanted to try based around, you know, the fact that Scyther was allowed is now not allowed. It's like, now, like, we basically wasted our scrim block because, you know, what's the point? That's very, very frustrating. I wish that there is something that the UCS, you know, staff could really do about it. There's really nothing they can do about it, and I feel really bad for them because, again, like, they can't really do stuff about it. But, you know, I think it's cool that they're releasing patches right before tournaments because it does definitely shake things up and make things interesting. I just wish that there wasn't... Yeah, I like it. I just wish that there wasn't bugs that, you know, I just wish that every single time they release a patch right before a major tournament, there's a lot of bugs that cause a bunch of problems right before the tournament. Right. So you think that eventually the developers would go, hey, maybe we shouldn't release a patch right before our major regionals tournaments.
Yes.
That'd be kind of nice.
I understand what people are asking about that and patch timings. I think the schedule is so jam packed this year that it's patches are going to hit before tournaments, no matter what. Like, it's either we just don't get any patches is a matter of questioning, especially
that's
if like
not true.
It's before qualifier. I mean,
if the patch was last Sunday or last Monday, it would have been fine. Right. Yeah. They would have had a week to figure out what was going on. They could have had a week to figure out what the bugs were and then decide on what they wanted to ban. And then teams have a week to prep for the open quals.
Sure.
That would have been fine. There's
but
no problems with that, right?
They're chained to Pokemon Day and things like that. Yes, it is.
Yeah, of course.
There are contributing factors outside of just that.
OK, but yeah, sure. If it was just Pokemon Day, whatever. It was also last month.
Yes, it is. It is consistent. You are correct. That is a good point.
And it's probably going to be next month, too.
But I think maybe I'm wrong. I think from a player perspective, it's probably frustrating. But I mean, the whole point of an e-sport is, you know, people are watching. I think they want to. I think they want the variety and sort of the unknown of a meta shakeup, even if it doesn't give teams enough time to fully figure out what's going on. I think from a viewer standpoint, I think it's better when things are shaken up near an event. You don't want it like an hour before, but if you give teams a week, I don't know. I think that's fine.
I think if you gave us a full proper week, that'd be great.
Right.
I don't know.
We didn't get that.
Well, yes. I'm not saying this from a player perspective. I'm sure the players deserve more.
No,
time.
I'm saying that from a spectator perspective too, right? Like, because it's frustrating to just like have that in the back of your mind, you know? At least that, like, you know, like that always happened to me while I was like, for example, one of the most frustrating esports experiences like I had as a spectator was that one year at League Worlds, right, where they released four reworks before the World Championship.
That was brutal.
And all Worlds was about was these four characters, and it sucked. It was awful. And like seeing that happen again potentially, because to be honest, the way the meta I think is going to play out. It's going to be boring. Like, it'll be awesome because we'll have, like, these new hype Pokemon. Comfey is a Pokemon. And there's new Pokemon coming into the meta. Like, hey, Espeon will be coming in. Awesome. But a healthy meta is better than a new meta, I guess. For a spectator, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, there's definitely some... I agree, and then I also... I don't know. I feel like... watching some of UCS this year and, you know, like ACL and things like that, I feel like it sometimes it has too many shades of last year still. And I feel like it would be good to just have more things that shake things up, even if it at times felt a little, not balanced or a little rushed or something. There are a lot of issues around it. I totally feel for the players, but I also... selfishly would like to see some different things.
So here's my thought on that. I do understand that, and I think it's because of where people come from. Are they a fan of Unite Esports because they're a fan of Unite as a game, or are they a fan of Unite Esports because they're a fan of the scene of Unite Esports? And I think if we did a better job as the broadcast of introducing fans to the players, letting them get to know the player storylines, becoming invested in teams and who these players are and how they play, it would help that a whole lot, because then not everything is just dependent on these 10 Pokemon that are on the screen. Are they interesting enough to watch? Are their mechanics fun enough? Is one too broken that it takes over the game? If the players are what's most important in the esport, then I think the game and scene will thrive. But that's my two cents surrounding it, because that's how other esports work. But anyway,
I think that's a great perspective. I also think just seeing the same Pokemon over and over again, for no matter what, that's you're true. Like, oh man, I really hope something else is good. I really hope someone.
Yeah, and I think we're talking in a world of balances, right? Like, if it's too long with the same thing, then what you're saying is the most apparent thing. And if it's too short, then what Lazen and Afeppi are complaining about is the most apparent thing. And it's just like, I don't know, there's some perfect balance. I doubt we'll ever hit it. But we can try to get better at it, probably. We'll we'll move towards that. We are getting very close to the end of the show. So I am going to move it away from our bugs and patch timings and things like that. And I do want to talk about just one thing that I posted on Twitter earlier last week. Just kind of a general discussion question. I'll bring it up here on the stream as well. I asked the Twitter, what is the most important skill for a top competitive Unite player? Now, I have two coaches and I got the content cowboy on here. So I think these are some fantastic opinions we can do to break this in. The four options I gave were macro knowledge, mechanical skill, Pokemon pool, which I didn't describe very well, but just like how many Pokemon you are comfortable playing and are good at, and then good communication. Macro knowledge and good communication, by far the big winners here. Macro knowledge taking the lion's share, 43.9, good communication at 36, mechanical skill rounding out at 13, and Pokemon pool by far the lowest at 6.2. Some interesting things here. I have some thoughts, but I want to get all of your thoughts. Lazen, I saw you actually replied to this one, but let me know, what are you thinking about this discussion?
Yeah, so basically what I said was, at the end of the day, like, you can use some of these to cover for the other ones, right? Mm-hmm. Like, mechanical skill isn't that big of a deal in Unite, to be honest. Unite's mechanically rather simple and has a lot of characters that you can just kind of dodge having bad hands, you know? Like, there's people that play this game like on a semi-competitive level, they're like 35-40, right? Like,
right, yeah.
No, it's not a big deal. Pokemon pool, that's a topic. I have strong feelings about that. It's actually, I would say, the second most important thing on this list.
Okay.
Relative to, like, I wouldn't say overall, but relative to where it is right now, I legitimately feel like people do not play enough Pokemon, and it is bizarre to me. It is not that hard to pick up a new Pokemon, guys.
We do be having some one tricks in North America. I will say that we do be having some one tricks,
but it's like good comms can help make up for team fights. They can help like very clear comms can help make up team fights. They can help with your macro. Like, they can make the team environment more positive in general, which then helps with everything here. Like, communication is so vital to the core of the team. It's insane.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're still putting your horse in the races behind good communication. Okay, yeah, good comms are so important. Feppy, you are also a coach of a top competitive Unite team. What do you think?
Communication, 100%. It's not even close.
Well, it was close. It was 43-36.
I mean, from a coaching perspective, it should not be. You can pull somebody with good macro knowledge, good mechanical skill. Sorry, let me restart. You can pull somebody with good macro knowledge, good mechanical skill, and have a good Pokemon pool, and they're not a top player. And the reason why is because their, you know, communication is not good enough to be on a team. I mean, that's what separates, you know, high elo one tricks from competitive players, right? It's that communication factor, and it always has been in every single MOBA. And I mean, communication is the fun, you know, it's the foundation for everything. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have good macro knowledge if your communication is bad, because how are you going to, you know, accurately get your team to follow up on your calls and your decisions? It's like the same thing with your mechanical skill. Like, you can have insane mechanical skill, but unless you're playing Zacian, you're not 1v5ing.
That's true. Hey, like, sometimes you can have great comms and terrible macro knowledge, though. You can ping gather here at Regieleki as much as you want. If you can ping it so well, it's still the bad decision. But I do understand what you're saying. I think that I think it's a good argument for having communication be the top of this totem pole. Spraggles, out of these four options, what would you think is the most important skill of a top competitive Unite player?
Well, I would have to defer to two people who are top players instead of myself. But I would say that good comms make the most sense to me, even if, I mean... So when we talk about macro knowledge, are we talking about how far into the weeds are we going with macro knowledge? Is this to the point where we're talking about a team that has a plan and knows how they're going to win? One thing that I have noticed watching competitive Unite so much is there are teams that know what their win condition is and how they plan on winning matches, and teams that actually don't exactly know how to win. Like, they choke at big moments. They don't have a plan for what's happening inside of a match. If we consider that to be macro, then maybe macro is actually more important than comms. But I feel like macro and good comms, it's almost like we're talking about two of the same thing, because obviously if a team together has amazing macro, it's because they're communicating what they want to do as a team, right? So that's why I guess what do we, when we mean macro knowledge, are we talking about like just rotating bot, or what are we saying?
that's a good question. Someone asked it, this is what I responded. I said the knowledge of where to be and when, rotations on the map, positioning before team fights, and how to counter certain strategies or execute your own. So I sort of described each of the things you just mentioned and put them all into one, which I am realizing maybe macro knowledge was too broad of a subject to put as one of these options. It's definitely way less specific than the rest of them. But I'm talking about even around Wraith Flight. What bush are you hiding? How are you defending your goal zones? Against a certain team composition, who do you engage on? What's target priority? These are all probably too many concepts to fit in one category. So I do see the credibility for good communication.
Oh, well, if that's the, if all of those things are in macro, then it destroys good comms.
Yeah, okay. It was a bad pull. I get it. I do think this one, I think this one is definitely going towards macro knowledge, but I agree with Lazanin and a couple of people who responded to the tweet. I think Pokemon Pool is way too low of an important skill. I think Pokemon Pool should potentially be higher than mechanical skill. I've said what I think about how hard Blissey is to play on this podcast before. I think that Pokemon Pool should be up there. It is so important in draft mode, and it is getting even more important every single patch. So that is my two cents. Get Pokemon Pool higher on this poll next time I make it. But
well, I'm only playing Zacian, and I'm doing great.
Yeah, that is true. That is a broken strat. Good call. I got it. That's big brain. But anyway, before we sign off, Lazadin, you had something that you specifically wanted to announce here on the show.
Yes. Okay. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. EST, keep your eyes on... I think I'll start streaming at 1:30 to live react to it when it comes out at 2. Keep your eyes on all the team socials. There will be a very, very, very big announcement dropping. Okay. It is the Arthur contract GIF. It is finally coming to fruition. This is one of the biggest moments in Unite Esports history, and I'm super excited to share it with all of you.
Okay. In typical fashion, this is an esports announcement of an announcement to come. But I am so excited to make sure everyone's tuning in at 2 p.m. Eastern. But fantastic. What a good note to end the show on. I think that'll bring us to the end of our episode. But the three guests, I want to give you all a chance to shell out, shout out, plug whatever you need to before we head out of here. Feppy, anything to do so? The stage is yours.
Yeah, of course. As always, thank you for having me. And for those that don't already know who I am, I'm Feppy. I'm the current coach for Radiance, and I'm a former professional sport player. Got top 4 in NA last year. You guys can catch me out on Twitch at FeppyTTV. You can catch me on YouTube as well, and also on Twitter.
Do it. Lazadin, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm Lazadin. Obviously, I am the coach for Team... Oops, not saying it. You can find me at Lazadin1 on Twitter, Lazadin11 on Twitch. I also got top 4 last year. You're welcome, Feppy.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Coach.
Obviously, subscribe to Unite Mics. We're here every Tuesday, except when we're not.
Most Tuesdays, all right? We're trying our best out here. It's okay. Spraggles, thank you so much for joining us. Anything to sell out, shout out, stage is yours.
I was gonna wait until 2 p.m. tomorrow, but I guess I'll just say it now that I am now sponsored by TSM. No,
what?
Evil Genius. I'm trying to guess this. Cloud9. Right, what are we?
Keep guessing, buddy. Keep guessing. Unite.
I mean, come on. I'm sponsored by the Hyundai Sonata, and you can find me on YouTube at Spraggles and on Twitch at Spraggles and on TikTok at Jake is super cool, because I didn't really. It should have been Spraggles.
It's all right. We've all been there. You can't get them all. Fantastic. If you're listening to this in the podcast world, please leave a 5-star review and help more people find the show. If you're watching it on YouTube, comment what you think is the most exciting change in this patch and how broken is Zation really? I don't know. If you are a big fan of Unite Mics, do not worry. Unite Mics Mayhem Season 3 is going to be starting very soon, next week, March 8th, 9 p.m. Eastern, and then every week following for the next 4 weeks, we're going to have a really fun tournament showcase. We're going to have some prize pools. It's going to be really, really fun. We're also going to have a bunch of giveaways each night. Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern here on Unite Mics is where Mayhem Season 3 is going to live. Make sure you tune in. Other than that, check out the show on the podcast and YouTube. Everything else will be fantastic. Good luck in March Open Qualifiers if you're participating. I hope it's an awesome tournament. I think it's going to be fantastic. Good luck to all teams participating. Until next time, goodbye.
See ya.